Welcome to Eco Alarm, the podcast where we break down the major factors affecting the environment and explore what we can do to help. I'm your host, Savannah.
And I'm your host, Beau. Today, we'll be talking to Mia. Mia is the CEO of Proven LA, which started out as a clothing brand and is now focused on the intersection of planet, fashion, and community building.
As an LA native, Mia helps to spread awareness about climate change through her eco-conscious fashion designs and the impacts of the textile industry. We're excited to talk to Mia today about what inspired her to start her journey in sustainability and community building as a college student.
Thanks, Mia, for being here with us today. To start off, it would be great if you could introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Thanks for having me. So my name is Mia. I'm a senior here at USC studying economics. I'm a progressive degree student, and I'll be getting my master's in spatial economics and data analysis. But what I'm here to talk about more today is about my company, Proven LA. Okay, so I started Proven LA in March 2020, so literally the middle of the pandemic. As I mentioned, I started doing like the upcycling, and then I kind of graduated to doing tie-dye tank tops. I don't know if you guys remember, but that was like super popular at the top of the pandemic. That is how I funded a lot of my business, with like literally like $3 tank tops.
Yeah, everyone trying to find something to do at home.
No, literally. And I would remember I didn't really know how to do like USPS like packages and shipping. I didn't have a website. So I would like drive around with like a mask and like drop them off, like the no contact delivery thing. But yeah, so then after that, I started doing streetwear because I felt that that was more like aligned with my own style and what I wanted to like accomplish with the brand. And then, yeah, I got really popular doing the Dice hoodie. Like I said, it was just like the dice on the hoodie strings. And then I actually used to be called Made by Mia. So I was doing all that under a different name. And then in December 2021, I decided to change my name to Proven LA because I wanted to rebrand to something that was more, that I felt was more clean and like crisp, but also like sticking to like the West Coast kind of perspective that I had. And then I did 3 collections as Proven. And then that's when I decided to do the environmental education, because I learned more about sustainability, fashion's relationship to the planet. And I really wanted to kind of focus on, rather than producing a product, to just kind of like learning from my network and also like spreading my knowledge and making sure that everyone could be informed if they wanted to be about environmental issues. So Proven LA started like 3 years ago when we did clothing, but now we're focused on environmental education and hosting community events.
Do you want to talk a little bit more about like what kind of community events you are working on, anything that you like have done or have in the works currently, and how you decided to make that switch? So sorry, that's a lot of questions, but yeah, we'd love to hear more about all of that.
So I can start with like your second question. So how I made this switch. So I actually took ENST 100 here at school, and that's literally like introduction to environmental studies. And that's how I kind of got more interested in just like climate change. And then I started watching like documentaries and going down like the YouTube rabbit hole for like fast fashion's environmental impact. And even though I was not a fast fashion company, it just, I didn't want to contribute to, you know, clothing waste or just kind of like perpetuate harmful practices. And so that's kind of why I decided to shift towards doing education. And I also think it's really important for like youth and just everyone in general in LA to be aware of what's going on, so everyone's like an informed citizen, and just to make sure that, you know, when we vote, we are making informed choices. And then of course that we're not like perpetuating, you know, climate change myths or misinformation. And then as for the community event side, I really like doing them just because I feel like it allows me to connect with people on a different level, just beyond like how it used to be, you know, like, oh, you bought my clothes. Like, I guess we know each other now and it's cool. but I kind of get to learn more about like everyone's values and things like that. So I've done a clothing drive. I'm sorry. I did a toy drive in December with a few other brands, and that was really fun. I'm hopefully doing a clothing drive in a few weeks, so stay tuned. And then in the summer, I have an event planned that would hopefully highlight local artists. And I'm also planning on being a part of some webinars. So a few fun things planned for the future.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we'd love to help promote that stuff if anyone is interested. So growing up in LA, I guess, how has that shaped your understanding of environmental issues, climate justice? all of that because you're from the local area?
I didn't really think about it until like I got to college. And I just mean like I would only think about it in terms of like surface level. So it's like, okay, I know what like littering is and recycling is, obviously, because everyone knows what that is. But I didn't really get a deeper understanding until now. But I think now I can kind of see like where there's like problems within LA and then where we're doing like great things. So I didn't realize how much of like the freeways were kind of like an environmental injustice to local communities and things like that. So I think just kind of having like a local perspective, it kind of makes me like see things differently, and also just like making sure I'm paying attention to what's going on, like local politics, things like that. And just trying to make sure that I'm spreading like relevant information, because people might not care about something going on like somewhere else. But if it's like here and it's something that they see on a day-to-day basis, it's important that like we know what's going on.
So you mentioned a few events coming up, closing drives and collaborations with local artists. I'm just curious, what's your vision for the future of Groove in LA?
That's a good question. I have a lot of different things that I have in mind, but ultimately I just really want to be like a source of like education for, you know, in the LA area. I just want to be kind of like a go-to place where people like feel comfortable like expressing their views about environmentalism. If they want to talk about something or want me to do a post about it, kind of asking those types of questions. But yeah, I don't have like an exact vision, but I just know I want to kind of grow like our consumer base and just making sure we're reaching as many people as possible. I feel like the brand changes a lot though, so that could change.
So I was also going to ask, do you have anybody else currently working with you on Prove in LA? Who have you guys like partnered with? Is there any other like involvement in that, or are you open to that in the future?
I'm definitely open to like collabing with other brands. In terms of like employees, it's just me, especially when I was doing the closing stuff though. Sometimes I would, you know, corral my friends or my mom to help me like package orders. But now it's mostly just me. But yeah, I'd love to collab with more brands in the future. I've done a lot of collaborations with one of my friends who's a photographer, BS Flicks. And yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to collabing with more like local brands. I would love to do something with more like environmental groups or like the tree planting groups or urban farming in the future. I'd love to do something with that, but open to anything, of course.
So do you guys see yourselves becoming more like a nonprofit or a B Corp, something like that for social good, and focusing more that way versus an actual like company for profit?
Yeah, I'm definitely thinking of going like the nonprofit route, just because we're not really doing like products anymore. I guess like the product would be like the information and the knowledge that we're like distributing, and like just learning from the community, of course, as well. So yeah, I think a nonprofit will definitely be in the future. But yeah, it hasn't really been something that I've totally like fleshed out, because I kind of just recently stopped selling things. So I haven't, you know, really sat down and thought about like the next steps in terms of like the how I want to categorize the business.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I have a quick question. I see that your Instagram and TikTok tags are at the bottom. I'm just curious, are these platforms helping you find artists to do collaborations with, or is it mostly people you know, your friends? I know you mentioned you have a photographer friend for your brand.
Yeah, so social media has definitely been like super influential just to kind of like build that customer base. And of course, like most people just know me as like the girl who does clothes. But that's how I like made a lot of my like great collections. Like I've done pop-ups and events with a store at Fox Hills Mall called Pro Image. And I think I met him through Instagram a while ago, and just through mutual friends. But I've definitely met like models, photographers, videographers, really great talented people through social media. I think it's probably been like the most important part of our success, just because it's like, you know, one person shares it and then someone likes it, clicks on it and shares it. So yeah, I've definitely been able to connect with new people through social media. And oftentimes we happen to have like mutual friends. So that's always nice, you know, just to make sure I'm not just like chatting it up with like random people on the internet.
And I was going to ask if you guys are interested in, or I guess not you guys, you, if you're interested in getting back into fashion in like a more sustainable way, like doing upcycling, clothing swap events, thrift events, things like that. Is that something you could see being kind of a unification of your two interests in the future, from what the original plan for Proven was and what it is now?
Yeah, so you know what's crazy is, I guess I can kind of give like a short timeline of how the brand started. So when I first started out, I had like, I obviously had no money and I had no customer base. So I was literally, I was doing upcycling. I learned, taught myself how to sew. And so I was doing upcycling for my friends. And then I kind of grew from there. I would, what I would do is I would take like college sweatshirts and I would make them like off the shoulder tops. And then I wasn't really like fulfilled doing that because I felt like it wasn't stuff that I would wear and it didn't really feel authentic to me. So that's when I kind of switched to doing like the streetwear stuff. And that's, I did sweatsuits and everything, I think for like 2 years. And I got really popular for something called the dice hoodie, where I basically just took playing dice and then drilled a hole in them and I put them on the hoodie strings. But yeah, I mean, that's totally different than what I do now. But I still love fashion. I would like to get back into it. And we actually did a eco-conscious collection. So last year, last summer, we did a collection called Proven World. It's literally just says, it's like a globe and it just says Proven in the middle. But that was our first collection that we used more eco-conscious materials. So I was able to find some really nice blanks that were made of, I think, like 10% recycled PET. And then it was like organic cotton. So that was really nice. And that was something I liked doing. But I don't know. I still feel like I have internal like qualms about, you know, just being a part of the fashion industry, just because it is so harmful. And then I also feel like I've had so many collections. I think I've had like 9 or 10 that I've released. And so I always kind of think to myself, how many jackets do we really need? And I don't want to like be perpetuating overconsumption. So yeah, maybe in the future, but I definitely like your idea of like doing the clothing swap. And like, hopefully the clothing drive, everything goes well and everything goes through. But yeah, I would love to do fun events like that, or even teaching people how to like sew and mend their clothes and make them last longer. I would love to do something like that.
Yeah, that sounds really great. And I'm working on a project in one of my classes right now that's talking about greenwashing in fashion. And I think so many people are unaware of, you know, like where their fashion comes from, how it's made, what the impacts are of fast fashion and stuff like that. So that's really important, especially I think for people our age in college and even like high school, early 20s and stuff, because a lot of times we're the buyers of fast fashion because we want to be fashionable and be cool, but we don't have that much money. So yeah, it's tough, but yeah, definitely like respect to your efforts to help educate people and stuff, because it is really important.
Yeah, no, I agree. So last semester, I actually took a class and I got to make a video about like fast fashion. And I basically just made about why it was bad. Y'all should go watch the video. It's on my Instagram. But basically, I talked about how fast fashion, one of the really like, I guess for, it's like a good thing about it is that it's affordable, right? And like you said, college students and young people, they really need clothing that's affordable, and not everyone like wants to go to the thrift shop. So I think it's hard to like always shame people for buying fast fashion because it is cheap and that could be like the only clothing accessible to them. But I do think it's like a balance because, okay, if you choose to buy from a fast fashion place, like I would say, make sure you're buying, you know, items that you're actually going to wear, you know, like going back to your point on trends, you know, we have micro trends that are so like perpetuated by social media. And then, you know, people buy things based off that. And that's not sustainable at all. Cause what, you wear it for 2 weeks and then you're like, oh, my TikToker's wearing something else now and I got to buy something new. So I think like there's a big problem too within like the trends and how quick the turnover is now. And then there's also so many trends going on at like any given time. So like you said, it's definitely hard to keep up. And then you want to be fashionable and you don't, it's hard to get like that capsule wardrobe where you're just wearing, you know, your basics and your like fun pieces occasionally.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also hard for like size inclusivity purposes. A lot of times like thrifting isn't always very easy in that sense. So definitely understandable why people turn to fast fashion a lot. And yeah, like you said, such a balance between like taking accountability for your own personal actions and then also, you know, recognizing that we do live in a greater system that is kind of the root cause of a lot of these. Okay, this is kind of an off the cuff question for Bo, but I was going to ask on your thoughts about like the whole fast fashion thing for men, because I feel like a lot of the topics surrounding it is like focused a lot on women's fashion and stuff. Do you feel like other men are really aware of the issue, or, you know, getting involved with the podcast and stuff? What did you think about it? Yeah.
It's a good question for me because I'm probably the least fashionable person in the room. I think, at least in my experience, how I like to shop, I have never been a fast fashion person myself. I'd rather have good quality clothing pieces, maybe a few of them, compared to, you know, hitting H&M and grabbing 10 t-shirts at a time. So I definitely value quality clothes over quantity. And I think that's a good way to kind of position any brands, even selling at a higher price point. But if it's something you can keep in your wardrobe for, you know, years, even, you know, longer than that, even lasting for a lifetime. I know a lot of brands like Patagonia, they repair your clothes for free and they're, you know, really big on sustainability. I think that's definitely a more sustainable, but also responsible motto for any clothing brand.
Yeah, for sure. Patagonia is awesome. I also wanted to plug really quick. This is just an app that I personally use. Like, we don't have any sponsorship or anything, but it's called Good On You. And it's available in the App Store. You can like search for different brands that are popular, such as like Adidas and Nike and things like that, H&M. And it'll give you sort of a summary and a score of like their labor practices, their sustainability rating. And then it kind of gives you like 1 through 5, with 1 being terrible and 5 being like really good, kind of where they lie on that scale. So even if, you know, brands you're buying from are not a 5, they're not perfect, you can still make informed choices and try to go with something better.
Is it fine if I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
So I'd love to hear your thoughts, just because you guys are both like kind of informed about like fashion's impact on the planet. And like Savannah, you mentioned like greenwashing. So how do you kind of balance like where you buy your own clothes? Like, do you thrift everything? Because I think sometimes it is hard to not like support these larger entities that are like, you know, polluting. Like, you know, you go to the mall and there's not really a lot of sustainable options. So yeah, I would just love to hear more about your guys' like decision process for that. Because I know for me, sometimes it's kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to shop here. But then it's like, I really like this piece and I think I'd wear it. So how do you kind of balance the two?
Yeah, I can go. I think personally, I try not to consume new items that often. A lot of times, like my roommate and I will kind of trade stuff or borrow each other's clothes, or we go thrifting together and stuff like that. So I definitely try to make a conscious effort not to perpetuate that like fast fashion cycle. But I do think it's hard sometimes, especially if you need like a specific clothing item for like a certain event, or you need professional wear or things like that. I have definitely like shopped at H&M and stuff. I really, really try to avoid the like worst of the worst offenders that are, you know, like Shein and, you know, Fashion Nova, that type of thing. Those online only retailers are really, really some of the worst ones. And, you know, H&M has like a conscious line and they have a few options that are better. They're definitely still guilty of fast fashion and greenwashing. But yeah, like you said, it's a balance. And I try to be really conscious about like, if I'm going to buy something, knowing that I'm going to wear it for a long time. And if I do get rid of clothing, I try to either send it somewhere where it can be recycled, or take it somewhere like a women's shelter or homeless shelter, where it's not hopefully going to end up in a landfill. Like if you were to donate it to a Goodwill or another like normal thrift store, because there's people who need those clothes more and who aren't, you know, selling it for a profit and getting rid of that unused donation. So yeah, those are some steps that I take, but it is hard. And especially, you know, being in college, not having a lot of income, but I try to make the most of it and, you know, not worry as much about like trend cycles and stuff like that, and focus more on trying to find my own individual style.
Yeah, speaking of not having much income as a college student, I think I'm very much the same. I mean, I don't really shop for clothes these days. I'm still wearing shirts from like high school, but when I do, I think it would be, you know, pieces like I'm getting new shoes or a nice leather jacket or, sportswear outdoors, I try to be conscious and, save up and think about what I really need in the long term, and go out to make that decision rather than, walking around the mall and picking up whatever kind of I feel like looks good on me. So I think that's being more conscious about how you spend your money and, because I think sustainable spending and sustainability for the planet go hand in hand. It's something that's sustainable for us is probably likely to be sustainable for the world as well.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is also taking a look internally at your own like consumerism habits, because especially with the rise of like TikTok and stuff like that, I think it's so, normalized to do these like hauls, and it's like TikTok made me buy it, like, and all of that stuff that you don't actually need and that doesn't even sometimes get used. So it can be frustrating to see. I think people should try to keep in mind like what they actually need, or is something that they buy going to actually like make them any happier, any cooler, any like more stylish in the long run, because a lot of that comes from your own internal development and recognizing those patterns.
I definitely agree. And then I also think there's like this idea of like retail therapy, which kind of, exacerbates like the overconsumption, especially when you pair it with like TikTok. And then, maybe you're feeling like sad or some type of way a certain day, and you see your favorite like influencer or whatever buying a new product, and you're like, oh my gosh, I need that. Maybe I can like be like them too. So I definitely agree that it's like internal. And I think that's something that like I've like had to deal with about myself. And that's something like I've had to change, especially because like I started doing fashion, right? I was doing like all the hoodies, and I was doing a lot of orders too. Would be sometimes like I would get like 40, 50 hoodies from the store. So I think like learning from that and just like seeing like everything that kind of goes into like making clothing too, because I've been to the factories, I've been to like the where you get the fabrics and stuff. And so I think for me, like kind of like separating like, oh, like I love clothes and I love shopping, like from like actually being like creative with my clothing and like not just buying things to buy them because I think they look nice. I think that's something I've had definitely like worked on with myself as well.
Yeah, well, that's great. Thank you guys for being candid and being open to conversation. Yeah, since normally we're kind of the ones asking the questions, it's nice to have a little like flip around. It's interesting. So yeah, if you just want to like plug your social media and like where our listeners can find you if they're interested in, coming to one of your events or checking it out, your YouTube videos or any of that, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so my Instagram is at proven.la. Our website is provenla.com, and we're provenla on TikTok.
Okay, that'll wrap up our episode for today. For more information on EcoAlarm and resources on topics covered in this episode, follow us at EcoAlarm Podcast on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Thank you guys so much for listening. Tune in every other Friday, and we'll see you next time. Bye.